Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
But also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
And welcome to the ATS Mix. I am, of course, Johnny Anonymous.
I'm his partner, Dave Rabbit. Johninator, Johninator, Johninator. Boy, I tell you, I just can't understand why people are making the comments that they're making right now on the site about the little Christmas picture that you and I took with Santa, you know, at the mall. I don't understand what their problem is with that picture, John.
Here's the only one thing I got to say is, you know, as a child, I didn't realize as a baby that my eyesight was that bad and that I had to wear glasses and that I had gray hair at that time.
Hey, well, listen, there's not that many pictures I had to choose from, brother.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
I got
how many pictures have we actually taken to where we're together, you know?
There hasn't been that many, correct.
We've got a great interview with one of our old buds, our old pals, Mr. John Rhodes.
Yes, and here is something that is very unique. Today, as we're finishing up the post-production on it, is December 11th. As a coincidence, when we did the initial interview with John Rhodes, it was last month on the 11th.
And November 11th, obviously, it was a very special day, which John discusses in his interview. And so it's going to be a great thing. And then, of course, we have the returning Skeptic Overlord in a new Skeptic Overview.
And then, of course, we've got our UFO sightings from Canada and the U.S. You folks are all going to enjoy the show, and we want to just remind everybody once again that there is a special edition show featuring our interview we did just a couple of days ago with Ron Paul's former advisor and analyst, Peter Schiff.
It was a great interview and a great show, and if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, boy, he is just blunt as hell about his feelings of how the economy has gone down the toilet and for what reasons and what purposes. So,
for whatever reasons that you don't have the time to listen to the show, we'll sum it up here in this one sentence. Dave and I found out that 50 cents is worth about a nickel.
Yeah, yeah. So those of you that think you're in good shape if you got like $25,000 in savings.
Womp, womp.
Yeah, I hate to tell you, but I tell you, I was so depressed after we did the Peter Schiff interview, John. You know, I went out and tried to find a nickel, and I was not successful. Anyway, enjoy the show. I think you're going to have fun with John Rhodes' interview and of course, the Skeptic Overlord and the UFO signing. So we'll catch you on the flip-flop, baby puppy.
ATS Mix.
We're rolling.
ATS Mix featured interview.
Ringy, ringy, ringy. Hello, ringy. Mr. Rhodes, are you there?
Dude, ringy.
Hello.
Dickies. Hello.
Hello. Is this Johnny and Dave?
No, it's not. Thank you for asking, though.
I thought I recognized your voices.
Yeah, well. Well, God, I can't believe it, John. I mean, it's been a while since we've talked to you, brother.
Hey, well, it's as good a time as any. You know, I'm always here to chat with if you need to, you know, mention something or give me a forewarning about something or just want to rattle my cages, as you guys always do.
Well, yeah. we used your 800 number this time. I hope that's okay, the 1-800-Reptoid.
Yeah, there is probably such a number, actually.
There probably is. And while we're talking about it, John Rhodes, would you please tell everybody where your website is located at?
Website's www.reptoids.com. Reptoid is a combined word of reptilian and humanoid, so reptoid.com. Reptoids.com.
The date that we are doing this interview with you, John, is November 11th, which is the 11th month, 11-11. Right. Seems to have some significance to a lot of people, and I was interested in finding out if you yourself had any thoughts that you'd like to share with us concerning time and dates and numerology.
Well,
and
sure,
stuff like
okay.
That.
Okay, this will blow you out of the water.
Okay.
Everybody can, you guys can testify that before we did this show, we were freely talking amongst ourselves as friends on a line before, right. You know, we said, okay, listen, that's enough chit-chat. Let's actually get going,
right.
And let's record this thing.
Right.
And, your audience can probably look back through the timeline, and you can testify what time it is now. My clock here is currently showing at 2:32 Pacific Standard Time on 11/11. And actually, when we started, and you can rewind the tape of this show, you'll find out that we started the show at 2:27, which equal the number 11.
That's right. Yes.
Two and 7 equal 11. So here we are talking about 11s, and even 11s are managing to manifest in what we're doing here and now. And the number 11 has, for many years, been important to my research. As far back as 1994, I gave a talk down in Mexico City, and referring to a crop circle that had appeared and which resembled the inner sanctum of a temple in Chichen Itza. When I looked at it, I was looking at two parallel lines in the crop circles, and I couldn't help but think of how when we look at two parallel lines, it's the number 11. So ever since then, and even more so at an increasingly noticeable rate for everybody in their lives, the number 11 is popping up all over the place. And there's a great history of symbolism and meaning behind what 11 is and what the two parallel lines actually mean. And it goes back to ancient metaphysics, symbolism, archetypal consciousness, and it actually is a portal and a gateway of opportunity for everybody from a spiritual and a physical manifestation point to create a new way of being for themselves and open up for new opportunities.
And so how far back does this go back again, I'm sorry?
Oh, it goes back to ancient times. As a matter of fact, the number 11 isn't even as important in ancient Freemasonry because you have the twin pillars in many of their symbols. The twin pillars are of Hercules, the clashing pillars of Hercules. There's other twin pillars, including the 9/11 twin pillars of the twin buildings, and the pillars of education. Pillars themselves are an important thing historically when it comes to leadership and institutions of knowledge and commerce. And in ancient times, on each side of an altar, the aboriginal peoples usually erected items on each side of the altar, and they were called iterators. And these are like pillars. In the Hopi Indians used to take corn stalks and put them on each side of their pillar. The Freemasons, for example, will put a pillar on each side of an altar. And these two things together represent in symbolism, if you look at the number one by itself, it means alone. If you put another number one beside it, it infers that you're no longer alone and that there's a point at which there's going to be contact. And many people believe that this point of contact is what we might be coming forward to, some sort of a launching point for not only human consciousness, but also for change on our planet. And it's not always easy. You know, like every birthing process, it's very difficult. But 11 keeps manifesting itself and somehow poking through the matrix of people like it's winking and nodding every here and there.
I was just going to ask, are there a lot of people that are in the elite or the government or military or even NASA, for that matter, that also subscribe to this theory?
Yeah, because you got to remember, there's a lot of people that are in areas of business and commerce that are Freemasons. And I only say that because part of becoming a Freemason is studying this ancient symbolism and its meaning. So they themselves understand the importance of just structures and symbols. They want us, the average person, to be lost in the subject and not really see it for what it is because it's like a secret language of wink and nod that they can use. They understand the meanings of this, although they won't admit it. You remember that most of the societies around America, we call ourselves a Christian society when most of the leaders in the community go to church, but at the same time they go to the Freemasonic Hall, which in the Freemasons say that you cannot have a one savior. So you have to say that they're all one and equal, otherwise you can't be a Freemason. Yet these are the men running cities and organizations and big businesses that have a great deal of influence in the world matters. And if you further break it down, you've got the Rosicrucians, you've got the Knights Templars, you've got the Knights of St. John, you've got all these various knighthoods of people who feel that they want to do something more in life than just run a company. They want to influence it in some way and change it in some way. And all of them now are seeing things fulfill themselves. And this number 11 is just one more sign to it.
you just said that people may want to use some of these numbers to influence the way events and things occur. Are there other numbers that are considered to be strong or magical other than 11?
Well, there are. You know, there's the number magic of 9. 9 by itself is a magic number. For every addition of 9, that equals itself. So 2 9s are 18. Well, 1 and 8 equals 9s, or 3 9s are 27. 2 and 7 equals 9. So it continues that way. So there's magic built into math, and that magic that's somehow built into math shows itself in the numbers of 9. Also 7. 7 is a very ancient number. Because there's like 7 colors to the rainbow, there's 7 notes to the musical scale. 7 is an ancient number for God. Zeus was associated with 7. As a matter of fact, if you look at the way that you made a Z in European languages, where you put a Z mark and then you put a horizontal line through the center of it, it's basically a reflection of as above, so below with the number 7. Because if you held a mirror up to a 7, that's what you would be seeing, is you would be seeing Z. So it's got magic hidden in the symbols, and right now I think that if you manage to recognize those symbols and at least have a base understanding of it, you might be able to commit some sort of a transformation of self during this time as well.
John, but before we get off this numbers thing, you know, Johnny and I did a thing a few months ago with the number about the movie 23. We did like a From the Balcony thing with the 23 that Jim Carrey did. We came up with a bunch of different things of things that added up to 23. So does this 11 thing have you mentioned when we first started the thing about the numbers adding up to 11. I mean, can you take it further than that, or is it just because of its religious significance?
Well, here's the thing, is you got to remember that with the numbers like that, people who are in charge of society today, many of the people on the very upper ranks of society, have found themselves entertained for many years with the use of metaphysics, and they used to do table tipping and things like that in the earliest part of this last century. Those type of people who have money and just nothing to do but whatever they want to instead of working for a living like most of us, those people and their offspring have been in power. And sometimes when you look at where we are now in history, the danger is that some groups might try and take symbols of power and try and put them up and plan things according to date so that they are fulfilling a prophecy. For example, we know that some of the people that have this very strong pro-Christian neocon group that's been influencing government for a long time, they have somehow managed to believe themselves to be individuals who could be in power during times of great transformation. And according to the conducts of their own inner circle fraternal types of rituals, they try and plan things according to the and let rituals fulfill themselves. I pointed this out before. For example, when you talk about the end times and the Leviathan upon the waters, and you look at how in 2001, a year to the day of the 2001 September 11th event, President Bush actually instructed the naval fleets to, instead of putting up the regular flag that we fly under, to put up the old flag of the serpent on the 13 stripes. And it says, "Don't tread on me," which was one of the first flags that we had really as a nation. And we're supposed to conduct naval operations under that snake. Well, when you think of the Leviathan and its references to being something of a scaled creature living in the deep that rules the oceans and global powers over the oceans, then you think, well, here we have a fleet of ships under the standard of a snake upon the waters. So if these guys start trying to do things to try and somehow interpret their interpretation of what future events are supposed to unfold before a new earth or a new Jerusalem or a new world order can be in place, then they might be, you know, using some of these dates. And that's why there's so many people out there who are studying the dates, trying to figure out where the connections are. It just so turns out that the number 11 is a date that has a metaphysical importance to it. There's something happening between the lines here with that number. And as long as people entertain it to their visual vision of their daily life and start noticing it around, it has a tendency to empower people and awaken them.
While you were talking, I just Googled 1111. And if the members will Google 11 space 11, you're going to find several things there that I think you'll find interesting. But I'm on one that says the symbolism and spiritual significance of the number 11. It's at www.greatdreams.com, and it's got a bunch of forward slashes. But you can find it if you Google it. This is interesting because you were talking about the significance of the 11. It goes into a lot of things that you kind of talked about, but it shows how to determine your life path number. Using a mathematical equation, which is I'm sure you would fathom very easily, but I'd have to sit there and get me a pencil and with an eraser and some paper to do it. But just looking over it as you were talking, it has the same exact extrapolation that you said earlier.
Well, yeah. One of the reasons that Jordan Maxwell and I are such good friends is because we have mutual admiration of each other's study on symbolism. And, of course, he's much to my senior. Sorry, Jordan, if you're listening to this, but it's true. You're handsome and nice and everything, but you're still my senior, and I regard you as such.
Back here,
and admire you as such, too. He you know, set the foundations of a common man kind of studying these numbers and such like that. And through his studies and also through my own, you start recognizing that there's an effect that numbers have on people that that transcends normal space-time. And symbols, and if you think of what language is, really symbolic language is probably more easily impressioned upon the subconscious mind as well as maybe even DNA. I'm one of those candidates that believes that DNA somehow just doesn't hold memories of physical experience, but also life experience can somehow impress upon that DNA and get passed down and be suppressed until later generations to pull back up. I'm extrapolating too long.
Oh, boy. Here we are, Extrapolation Alley.
These guys are falling asleep. I have to jar them awake, you know?
No,
Rhodes, quit talking. Oh, my God, Rhodes, quit talking.
No, I thought I was just... No, actually, I was just... I had Googled www.extrapolation.com.
Your word of the day.
And it's a picture of you, John. I mean, it's great.
You know, some people would say even the... even the numerological editions of Barack Obama and his vice presidential candidate all end up as 11s.
Really? So,
now, that's interesting you said that. You know, now, are you clairvoyant, John? I mean, have you ever had any bits of clairvoyancy?
I don't profess to be. I'm not one of these people that talks about their own abilities. I like talking about it.
All right, well, I'm going to tell you, I'm tell you, this is weird. Now, this may be a weird day for the three of us. We've had, and Lord knows we've had a few of them. But you know how you said how weird it was that the show started with the 11-11 thing and whatever? Mm-hmm. While you were talking, I did a little private message between Johnny and I, and it says, well, what do we want to cover next? How about reptoids, Obama, or whatever? And I mean, it wasn't 5 seconds later, John, that you say Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that weird or what?
Well, you know, I think that's happening to all of us more and more. It's not just happening to myself. When people can witness it, like during the conversation that they're listening to now, where they have two separate parties confirming the magic is kind of taking place even right when we're recording this.
Right.
That kind of magic is happening in everybody's lives. It's just a matter of waking them up to it, to have them see it. And these are great times. Remember, even though we're going through periods of uncertainty and we're going to be entering a period of total chaos, our society is going to collapse into total chaos soon. And it's going to be because of either natural devastation or some sort of a terrorist, whether real or created event. And I'm saying both to cover myself because I know both occur. Now it's hard to tell which is which now. And also times of uncertainty regarding economies when people become unsure, and then especially if the resources are cut down because of lowering water levels around the world, changing global climate patterns, from my opinion, heading towards another Mondum Minim or mini ice age preceded by a pumping up of heat and then followed by a total collapse of output from the sun, creating a mini ice age, which we went through back in 1646, 17... 20 and in that timeline, and it changed global patterns, and so much of our farms and everything is set up, and we've enjoyed the stabilized climate for so long that when you start having those changes take place, we're going to have to somehow wake up and say we're broke, we've been ripped off, and there's no one here to respond to our needs. Nobody seems to have any sense of knowing, you know, how to better manage this than just to keep people from getting too upset, because they're going to start wondering, you know, why aren't we being taken care of? You certainly took care of yourselves for the preceding 8 years or 9 years before all this occurred,
right,
by ripping us off and stealing from us. And that time is going to be coming, but it's just a matter of how do you move through that transformation and still come out having a sense of sanity about yourself. And you got to remember, the Chinese ideogram for, you know, disaster and opportunity are one and the same.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's a matter of perception. It's a matter of how you deal with it yourself, you know, going through that disaster, whether you're going to make it and come out ahead or whether you're going to fall behind. And if you fall behind, you may not be able to function on a new planet.
So what are your thoughts on Obama? Do you think we know that he's going in with a fully loaded bunch of disasters and chaos that's going to be on his table. How do you think he's going to be able to do as our president and be able to handle these things?
He's got a lot on his plate. There's great opportunity, but I have a feeling that there's been other plans that are perceived by a shadow government who have a greater knowledge of what's about to happen, but have pretty much are just sitting back and they're waiting for everything to occur. And if you're not preparing now in some way for some sort of event that's, you know, about to approach, then you're going to be left behind and you're going to be wishing every day that you weren't planning or doing something, even if it's saving a bag of rice or some canned food, then that's going to be lost time that you look back on and kick yourself for. And if it's going to affect you and your family's comfort, then it's nobody else's fault but your own, since you've all had advance notice. It's all coming down the pike. It's just that society itself is in denial, because just like the woman who comes home, and I use this as reference, that sees lipstick on her husband's collar that washes it out, and she knows and she's confronted with what's going on. It's not her lipstick, but she puts it out of her mind because she'd rather continue living without thinking about it in her current circumstances, because the change would be so uncomfortable she couldn't deal with it. So she puts it out of her mind. And the brain is like that, and I think on a social level, all of us collectively have this as a common denominator. We're all afraid of change, but man, you can't get away from it. And Obama's going to have to be the man at the helm to handle that kind of change. And it could be that we're entering a new Avalon, a new time of transformation, which we could, if we can get a forward motion going, continue a wave of change that's positively benefiting all of us. I mean, just sensible things like, come on, let's start encouraging people to move out of Florida, since we've already been told it's going to be underwater. They've discovered that last climate change happened within 1 year. Do I have to say that again? It all happened within 1 year, the last ice age. Mm. 1 year. They used to say, 80 years. You've heard these guys. Don't worry about global warming. Blah, blah, blah. 70 years down the line. No. It can happen as fast as 1 year, and that's not what people are wanting you to hear. Because when you hear 1 year, you think, oh, my God, this is a house of cards, and you'd be absolutely right.
So should we be on the verge, or if not already doing, like perhaps creating victory gardens in our backyard?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
Get yourself prepared for, you know, what if we're going to have rolling blackouts eventually, because the way that the electricity has been routed throughout the entire United States was never going to be meeting the demand, because we have more and more population growth every year, and there's more and more teenagers who want more and more power, and we've got more and more electronics, and it's going to break the back of the power systems. And you put on top of that a sun that's going to start pulsing out photon energy, because it's going to have solar bursts. You're talking about a transmutation of even the weather patterns on Earth that are affected by it. And you got to remember, at the same time, many people don't know this, there's actually a marked increase in reports of hallucinations during a solar pulse, during a solar storm, than there are when there is no solar storm. So it does affect human consciousness. We should be having many, many more solar storms now than we're having. And it's worried scientists, because they said since they've started taking records, they've never noticed it so quiet. In my belief, the reptilian humanoids that I've been studying for so long and talking about for such great periods of time, they were present in Mexico City during 1991 solar eclipse, because they were interested in what's happening to the sun, because the sun is marked to have some sort of an event take place near 2012 because of high atmospherics and the way that rays are scattered and energy is pulsed. If there's a chance that there's some sort of an event coming from the center of our galaxy, such as a large magnetic wave being released by a magnetar or something that hits our sun could be in line with this. It wasn't like 2004, Earth got hit by a gamma ray burst that actually made the upper atmosphere let out an audible sound like a bell. It hit Earth so strong. And these are rays that we don't usually encounter, but they have been suspected of causing massive extinctions in ancient history. And if our sun ever got hit by one of those, which some people theorize might happen, it would overpower the sun with a magnetic wave, and that magnetic wave would turn around and belch out extra energy from the sun. All the atoms and molecules of nearby planets have to be pumped up and receive that photon light. All the atoms and molecules that make up all physical substances are pumped up and put into a high vibration state. And when they do this, this is the point of human transformation on the planet. It's because your atoms and molecules are vibrating higher.
You spoke about 2012. There are a lot of people that subscribe to the 2012 scenario. I'm curious, is it possible that we may have the dates wrong? Because I heard something while I was up at the expo that according to some other type of calendar, we had already entered what we are calling the year 2012.
Yeah, because of different calendars, what people feel is the case. But we have to remember the one that we really can go by, that we can look at, and we can recognize as having a forecast to it that's so critical, is the fact that the Mayans, who seemed to be masters of time and space in their own right, for whatever they were doing, I think they were probably pushing their brains to seeing into next dimensions or somewhere else when they kept taking all the hallucinogens they found in the jungles there. The brain was releasing a huge amount of data into them that they could only perceive through their own symbolism and make a meaning to it. But somehow they were psychologically accelerated in their ability, or something came down there, or came up in there, I should say that, from the inner Earth, and had contact with them and gave them a forecast of date. And if it were just 2012, I'd say okay, but then again, you know, you have the cycle of Venus, which is really important to it as well. You put that on top of the 2011-2012 dates, and then you start seeing that something amazing is going to happen, because even in the celestial alignment of planets and the transit of Venus across the face of the sun, which only happens every 108 years, that, and it happens in pairs, will be happening again at the same time. And Venus is not only important for the Mayans, but also has a cross-reference importance to those of the Christians, like Lucifer, the early morning star, which people erroneously keep saying is, you know, Lucifer is the devil. It's actually not the case. It's just a misinterpretation of passages and a confusion that's kind of common in belief systems. But you have all these different symbols of the alignment of the planet within its plane and the global changes that are awaiting us that everybody can feel. And we all have a sense of impending, I wouldn't say it's doom, I would say it can be excitement or it can be fear, but if you take it into fear, you just do nothing else but rob yourself of any power going through some sort of a period of transformation. If you take a sense of wonder to it like a child and maintain a childlike perspective, because change is good, then you're going to be more highly adaptable, and you'll be able to pass through that time. And if you know how to keep a smile on and be highly adaptable, don't hold on to old belief systems or old patterns, if you can be willing to shed those things,
yeah,
you'll be able to make the transformation to whatever we're about to occur a lot easier on yourself and others around you. More importantly, it'll bring your stress levels down, and you won't get sick as often, because some people tend to get sick when they get stressed out. You know, it lowers their immune system.
Well, speaking of being stressed out, let's get off this doom and gloom stuff for a while and get
it's
on
not
the one
doom and gloom. Don't list it at that.
Well, what do you call it? What do you call it? I'm so depressed right now. I'm going to go out and beat the crap out of somebody.
No, it's exciting change. It's exciting change. Look, we're a generation that's going to be a generation to possibly see a change like humanity's never witnessed before.
Well, we'll all be dead,
all
John.
Our parents
we'll
had to do this. No, you're not
in
all going to be dead.
In 2012? No, you won't be dead in 2012.
You're not going to be dead. No, you won't
be
dead.
Right. Oh, that's right. That's this century. Sorry, I was thinking it was 100 years from now. Sorry. That's going, well, I don't know where you're going to be at. That would be 3012, wouldn't it? Okay, well, if we survive, here's my point.
It's all good.
Well, good. And if we survive 2012, then we can talk about 100 years later. Now, here's where I want to go with
it. If we all survive 2012 and nothing happens, there's a lot of people that are going to stop believing in prophecy. They're going to go, oh, man, I gave that all I got, and now nothing happened.
Well, you know, I mean, there's always going to be
a
few that do that to you, anyway, so it's no big deal. Okay, I want to get on something that's really scientific. Let's talk about Bigfoot.
Okay.
You know, what's the latest in any kind of quest that you're aware of trying to find any findings? Now, I don't know, I think this was after we had talked to you last, John, but, you know, there was some clown that they had perpetrated some kind of fraud thing where they had a costume and then filled it with cattle mutilation parts and whatever and, tried to pass it off, and everybody got really excited for it. Yeah, you remember that. So, I mean, is there anything significant going on? So sorry.
I was going to say, I think it was deer parts that they...
Oh, okay. Well, deer, cattle, they're all got 4 feet. Who cares? Is there anything significant going on? John, as far as putting to bed once and for all or dispel the rumor, is it real or not real?
Not real. And, here's the thing is, now there's going to be flack from it because, the police department is trying to separate themselves from these guys and everything. And I think there's been other motions of legal action involved as well. So, the sad thing about it is that, that's all this, the UFO community has been rife with fraud. Come on. I mean, it's true. We like to believe that we're, studying something and we're all family and we're all supportive. But at the same time, man, there's a lot of fraud out there. And some people are more willing to be entertained by fraud, even if it's presented as real, because it's just more entertaining. And the Bigfoot thing, when these guys get out there, these local guys get out there and they start perpetrating fraud like that, they think, oh, well, wait a minute. The alien autopsy, that wasn't real either, but they're not in jail or anything like that, and they made money off it, so why don't we do it? That's what they're thinking. So there's people like out there that just love to do something that's just bad behavior. That's all it is. It's bad social behavior.
Yeah.
But it's also criminal. So, sorry. We haven't got any videotape of a Bigfoot. The Patterson film was great, and more people are getting interesting imagery that comes up, the cheaper that these trail cameras are getting. You can get them through Costco for about $100 or $120. They can take photographs up to a month, and just if you never go near it, you see whatever comes near it. And this kind of technology, eventually we're going to start having some very, very provocative photographs start coming up. But even then, we have to be careful because we're in the age of digital photography or, Photoshop. We're in the Photoshop age, so we've got to be careful of that. If somebody comes across with imagery taken on a 16-millimeter camera, it's the only thing that's going to withstand the scrutiny of scientific investigation at this point, because they're going to look at the silver nitrate on the film, on the negative of the film, to determine whether there's been any kind of manipulation, especially if they can determine that that film was shot at that time and the exposure was at that time. Anything digitally filmed is going to be hard because we've seen it through the Haiti UFO stuff. Everything can be digitally marketed to look real. We've all seen it. We all saw E.T. We all saw these movies. They can do anything they want. But if you hold on to your old cameras and use 16-millimeter film, especially wind-up camera, you're better off because your evidence can stand up to scrutiny a lot better. But also, if it's spring-wound 16-millimeter, the battery failures that occur in modern photography equipment, including video cameras, will not affect you taking video evidence of your event. You'll have a spring-wound camera. It'll keep going. They can't stop the spring. They can turn batteries off and power down cameras and cars, but they can't stop that spring.
Oh, I bet if they wanted to, the spring could be stopped by...
Not as fast as I'm going to run away with it.
Really?
Try and stop that spring.
Hey.
Well, you've got to be pretty excited about from your move, because you're in the foothills of California without actually telling our listeners whereabouts you're living. But you're kind of living in Bigfoot territory, aren't you?
The southern foothills of out near Yosemite National Park. There's been reptoid sightings around here. Correlating sightings, have even been called in during radio shows where people at colleges said, hey, I had a sighting, or a friend of mine saw this up near there. So it's an area that's really awesome. I did have a sighting of my own back about maybe 4 or 5 years ago in this local area here of a large triangular craft. And all I got was, it was hard to film because it flew at nighttime between the time when the sun went down and the moon rose. So when it was darkest and it didn't have any kind of a silhouette you could see or an outline. And I felt it was one of ours. But there's a lot of stuff like that, events like that occurring up here. And, you know, when you've got a national forest at your back and you've got phenomenon happening around you, then where better place could you move to? You know, the last time you guys talked, I was up in Montana doing the cattle mutilation investigations, and it came to a point up there where if I'm starting to find out this has to do with things that have political entanglements, you know, there's only going to be so much research that I can do that's going to be safe for me, because I felt that, you know, I did encounter retaliation for my discoveries up there. I won't get into the details of it, but I did feel the blowback from, you know, public disclosure of my ideas.
Yeah.
And so it was time to move on, because there's other things that people want to be, you know, informed about, and they want to hear and kind of sense that somebody's out there on their behalf that's, you know, using a very critical yet open mind into what's going on, so they can, you know, be provided a different window of observation.
Yeah, well, speaking about blowback, did you ever see the movie Gargoyles? It's about
I believe I did, yeah.
About 30 years ago, it had, you know, that movie, I don't know, I mean, it was kind of a dumb movie in a way, but I mean, it really was a good movie, and it was kind of creepy at the time. And the reason why I want to blow back here and extrapolate this further with you.
Fix that word again, extrapolate.
He's an Ladies extrapolation whore, I tell you.
It's because
he is an extrapolation junkie today.
Yes, he really is. Yeah, really. It's because Steve Quayle, the brother of Dan Quayle, mentioned that there were two chained 12-foot giant lizard-like creatures, almost like gargoyles. There's my segue into gargoyles, with leathery wings being kept in underground catacombs under the streets of Rome. John, have you heard about this, or is this just another whack city thing?
Well, first of all, I'd like to see the quote. I would actually like to see the place, date, and quote.
Steve Quayle.
Yeah, the Steve Quayle quote. I'd like to see where the source of that quote is, the set and circumstances in which he said it, and to validate whether the...
Yeah, he mentioned on Coast to Coast, I believe.
He did. Well, I'd have to listen to him say that, but I would have to...
So you don't take our word for it that that's what he said?
No. I would have... You know, you can tell a lot by listening to the person themselves rather than hearing
I'm pulling your reptoid there, John. I'm pulling your reptoid. Sorry.
I know. I'm pulling my reptoid. Don't pull my tail. Anyway, oh, no, I'm just giving them loads of ammunition now. I'll never hear the end of this.
That one down, baby puppy. All right, I'm sorry to distract you, John. Go ahead with the Steve Quayle thing.
It's entirely possible because, as we've discovered through the Monster Quest investigations, there have been animals of enormous sizes. And, you know, there are oddities in every part of the animal kingdom, just as there are, you know, humans that are just so large, it's unimaginable that they could grow that tall. As well as that small, like the little, you know, people off the island of Java, the Java Island people that they found, the little, you know what I'm talking about.
Munchkins?
No, the guys off the Javanese islands, Homo habilis, the hobbits people.
You mean midgets?
No, this is the tribe of skeletal remains they found of a tribe on the Javanese islands that were the hobbit people. They were only about 3.5 feet tall, but they were perfectly proportioned. They weren't midgets. These were perfectly proportioned people, 3.5 feet tall.
But isn't that a midget?
I mean, they found their remains, huh?
But isn't that a midget?
No, midgetism, the different dwarfism and things like that. There's telltale signs, even medical signs that they can see. They've examined the bones and said, no, this is a proportioned person, like
It's like a miniature.
The pictures of these little people on their knee.
It's a miniature person then.
Person, right? And they found one set of skeletons. Then the guy in charge of the Indonesian investigation illegally took the remains, and they wouldn't let anybody have a look at them anymore. And then finally, the courts got involved, and they discovered that no, this isn't a genetic mutation. These aren't sick people. These weren't people who had some sort of disease. They were just some sort of a new branch that nobody discovered, and these people were tiny.
Or perhaps they were an old branch, you know, that just had not been discovered
yet. Well, that's the whole thing. Well, the whole thing to do with even the talk of reptoids and everything, or even the base of, like, David Icke's, you know, extrapolation.
Ooh, bonus points.
Excuse me, well, extrapolate all over you. Excuse me, sorry. got a cold.
I know.
Anyway, so the foundation of all that suggests that, you know, there are other things that were equally impossible before the scientists discovered them. Until they discovered them, now that kind of cracked their minds open. But there are other things out there that diverged off of the animal kingdom that we have never even encountered before. Everybody should know we've only cataloged about 1.5 million species, but there's estimates that could be as high as 100 million species out there we have not even encountered yet. Now, granted, most of them are going to be insects and different things, small things like that, but once in a while, nature likes to surprise us, and they pop up some sort of a mammal or reptile that we've never encountered before, and some of them are quite strange. And interestingly enough, the human form that was thought to be uniquely human is not so much uniquely human, because vertebrate studies in ancient fossil records show that even the dinosaurs, most of them were walking upright on two legs.
One of the things I wanted to kind of move into just briefly here, when you were last living in Montana, wasn't it? It was Montana.
Hoboken, yep. Montana, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. You talked about the MRSA disease that was running rampant there, and I was just curious if there was any more news about that. And I know that since you've moved up here into California, the great country of California, as Dave likes to refer it to, is MRSA also prevalent in other states other than Montana?
MRSA is prevalent all over the world. And as a matter of fact, it's been happening at an alarming rate over in Europe. Remember, MRSA kills over 19,000 people here every year in America. That's more than AIDS. But then people hear about MRSA, they think, oh, it's just some infection you get if you go to the hospital. There's no sense of urgency or importance that people sense with it, because they're just not aware of it. And I believe that that awareness has been diminished only because, you know, you get into issues of talking about the human food chain. And at this point in time, I was reminded by the gentleman that spoke about beef on the Oprah Winfrey show. This gentleman has spoken on Coast to Coast and other shows. I just happened to speak to him one day and was referencing back to the MRSA connection. And remember, he won in court with Oprah Winfrey when this whole thing about beef was mentioned, where she said, I'd never eat beef. I'm not going to eat beef again. And it went to court because the meat industry took them to court.
Yeah.
Took them a lot of years, but they both won their cases, even the scientist that said this. But afterwards, he said that the Bush administration had turned around and made it an act of terrorism to start making public comments about the food chain that make the American public feel insecure about their food chain.
Wow.
And I was reading a document during my research that pointed out the issues of MRSA and other types of biological diseases that float in moisture particles in the air downwind from pig farms, predominantly pig farms, and it deposits itself in water, on orchards and grains, all kinds of stuff. And when it was showing the maps of the areas, you put your cursor over and it said something about updates call, and it had a phone number. And I thought, okay, I need an update of this map. I was surprised that when I got somebody on the phone, I said, hello. They said, hello. And I said, well, I was just calling to see if I can get updates on this map here that was in this report about contamination, you know, with MRSA in the food supplies and coming off of pig farms and agricultural things. And she says, well, you need to talk to the director. I said, well, no, I don't need, I guess I'm not getting the right department. I just need to update the map. She goes, well, no. She says, you need to talk to the director. I said, well, what department am I speaking with? And she says it was the Department of Homeland Security within the USDA. So that map actually directed me to the director's number.
Jeez.
And then I realized that any further information that I could provide beyond what I had done started getting into a little bit of an area which I had not been aware it was going to get into. The scientist that spoke on Oprah Winfrey's, he was the one that drew this to my attention, that it is an act of terrorism. So you got to, and they did that even knowing that people down the line might be concerned about what's going in the food chain. And so I laid it all out on the website. It's all there for people to see. I've made my point, and I realize it has to do with public health. which seems to be at the lowest priority sometimes when it comes to big business. Again, and
all right, let me ask you a question.
On to other things now. Now it's up to Mariposa and all the UFO activity, all the reptoid sightings, and the gold up here in the courts, right, Johnny?
Oh yes.
Quit dragging him into this conversation.
I woke him up there.
I was awake.
He was awake. What's your feeling about the meat thing? I mean, we got sidetracked into a bunch of different things when we were talking about Oprah and stuff. I mean,
I blame a rabbit for that.
I know, sorry. Do you think the meat's safe to eat, you know, after all the experiences that you had up there, you know, in cattle mutilation country?
Would I eat meat?
Well, yeah.
Would I eat meat? Is that what you're basically saying?
Well, I mean, if you don't want to tell us, that's fine.
No, I haven't eaten any kind of poultry or red meat or anything like that in about 24 years. I think 25
really?
Years coming up. Yeah. No, I just realized that I can sustain my own life comfortably off of things that weren't so much, you know, other animals. And one of the things is I don't think that there are too many people that don't like animals that are interested in UFOs, because you have to look at the alien species as something from the animal kingdom. Even if it's from another planet, it's still another animal or being. Still another biological being.
Right.
And I just decided at some point that I didn't need to do it. And then I found out because of different blood types and the foods you can eat for different blood types, I think that there might be something to that. And so it just seemed to me that, you know, doing vegetables, and I'm not exactly a vegetarian as much. I, you know, I'll do the dairy products on occasion, and that doesn't bother me. I don't have any problems with that. And fish. I like ocean, you know, fish life. So it didn't have to do with the health in the beginning, but the more I studied it, the more I realized there are reasons if you can do without meat, you should be doing without meat.
Okay, let me ask you this then. For those of our listeners that do consume meat, is there something that they can look into or look towards to be able to have better information on what they are to consume?
If you buy meat through small producers, not large places where they have, you know, several thousand head of cattle or something like that, but if it's small herds of like 100 animals and you're buying meat from purveyors in that small market like that, is going to be healthier for you than the large cattle houses owned by the corporations. And in addition to that, you can choose to buy meat from health food stores. Sometimes they do have butcher counters that provides meat, you know, or meat shelves that have meat in there that's made from people who are into organic feeding of their animals. Just make that choice for yourself. The first thing that stunned me that started kind of changing things is that I had, I think it was a pork chop once, and then I had a pork chop from a health food store, and it was just convenient for me at the time, and I ate it, and I thought, God, that pork chop tastes great. Now, the next day, I thought, well, I'm going to buy a pork chop from the store again to see what, you know, have something to compare it to, and I did that. And that you could actually taste the flavors of the meat when you buy the meat from a place that doesn't use all these antibiotics and everything that they're shooting the animals up in. It retains a flavor that we only remember as children, but we remember it so fondly. And it seems like many of us are trying to chase that flavor sensation down in our adult lives, thinking we're going to find it on the store shelves, and we never do. So we just do other things like sugar, start loading up on sugars to... Yeah, because we're just children and we just want sugar. If we can't find what we want and what we mouths tell us we want, that flavor in itself will be restored. So you do have a choice. And if it means you just have to go out of town, then just go out of town, but get your meat and store enough for a week or two and bring it back. Because even though it's frozen, it's still going to have a completely unique, wonderful burst of flavor in your mouth like you've been missing for so long. Guys, sound like a USDA commercial.
I love it. I love it.
I know. For the beef industry.
It's always a lot of fun talking with you, John.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Yeah, we really appreciate your time, John. I know, you know, you had to extrapolate some time from your family. So.
We, can I hear him squeeze a rock there one more time?
Yeah.
I'll get it out one more time.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate the extrapolation, John. Thanks so much.
You are the master extrapolator, Dave.
Extrapolator.com. All right, John.
No, thank you, guys.
All right, man.
It's always fun.
All right.
Bye.
This is ATS Mix.
What? Whoa, whoa. What am I hearing?
What is this?
From above, topsecret.com.
Oh, crap.
Here are your anomalous sightings
from around the world.
These are the reported sightings over the United States. This is David C. In Georgia, an observer stated, "It was a very clear night outside, no clouds in sight. I noticed a bright flash of light on the side of my car parked in the driveway and realized that it was just a reflection of another object. I looked up into the sky and noticed a bright red-orange teardrop-shaped object moving at immense speed. The front of the object seemed to be almost perfectly round, with a tail at the end which may or may not have been flames, maybe caused by the object entering the atmosphere at high speeds. It started out almost directly above me. By the time I actually saw the object, it had very quickly headed in an eastward direction. It was only seconds after I noticed the object directly before it disappeared. I did not see it disappear behind any other object. It just seemed to vanish. I do not really understand what it is that I saw. I have seen shooting stars before. This was definitely not the case. The brightness of that object far surpassed anything I have ever seen in the sky other than the sun or the moon. At first, I thought it was a meteor, but after looking at the object and the intensity of light, I'm uncertain. My friend was very confused, too, almost scared, it seemed. He said he did not understand what he saw and didn't really want to talk about it. He did say that he had heard a noise and that that's what made him look up and notice the object. I did not hear anything. I just saw the bright light reflection on the car and looked up to the sky. He did say he noticed the light and the sound at the same time. I felt a little excited, definitely in awe of what I had just witnessed." This is David C., reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
This is Tamriel from Godbox Cafe with sightings from across Canada. It was a pretty exciting week for our friends in the western provinces, with numerous witnesses in Alberta and Saskatchewan reporting a significant celestial phenomenon occurring within the same time frame, between 5:30 and 6:30 p.m. on the same evening. In Bittern Lake, Alberta, one witness, who lives on an acreage with no outside lighting, witnessed through the large living room window, which overlooks a densely forested area, at about 5:40 p.m., the woods momentarily light up. Shaken by the experience, the witness, phone in hand and dogs following, went outside to determine the source of this blazing light. After wandering west and south around the house for 5 minutes, the witness saw an intensely bright light to the south just above the horizon. The light was too bright to look at for long, but there was a halo of red, yellow, and deep blue. This light sat in the sky for about a minute, then went out, leaving a tiny point of light in its wake, which fizzled out seconds later. The witness included in this report that the media had been flooded with calls as far north as Fort McMurray and had no explanations as yet for this event apart from the possibility that meteor showers were to blame. At 6:25, people in Dalmany, Lloydminster, and Radisson, Saskatchewan all reported seeing a fireball in the sky 1 hour before, and apparently someone in Radisson saw it land in the Maymont area. A truck driver in Saskatoon called his wife at 6:30 p.m. to tell her about the whole sky being lit up for a few minutes and that many other drivers were talking about it on the CB radio. Another woman driving her car on Territorial Drive in North Battleford, Saskatchewan, saw a bright light pass overhead that was so close she was afraid it would hit her vehicle. Yet another driver heading to Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, on the Trans-Canada Highway, saw a huge light and heard sound splatter like fireworks. The car and field to the north were lit up by this large burning ball with a white-blue tail. Three witnesses, including a 70-year-old gentleman and 82-year-old pastor, were returning from a hunting trip near Whitecourt, Alberta at 5:30 p.m. when the sun had already set, and the driver of the truck pointed to the others to look at the sky. All three saw a bright fireball with a green glowing tail head straight down to earth and fall below the tree line. All three witnesses were visibly shaken by the event and chose not to track its possible landing and drove away instead. This is Tamriel keeping my eyes to the skies for AboveTopSecret.com.
And now it's time for a different view. This is the Skeptic Overview.
It is time once again for us to all put on our tinfoil hats as we bring on the CEO of AboveTopSecret.com. He's known amongst our staff quarters as Bill Irvin. You know him as the Skeptic Overlord. Hi, Bill.
Hello there. Yes, tinfoil hats. Embrace your inner tin, folks.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to embrace our inner tin. By the way, you know, I tell you, I've seen some pretty exciting things before we get into the Skeptic Overview tonight that you've got on the back burner and kind of just creating. You want to maybe give everybody a little hint?
Yeah, sure. We're putting together a thing we're calling – it's actually a concept that was around for a while, and we finally figured out how to make it make sense. And the concept is the AboveTopSecret.com Book of Threads. And I started experimenting with how we could format in print version content from the site, and especially maybe some of the more popular threads. And it just it became impossible. As we started to pare down a discussion thread in a format that we could use for publication, because as you can imagine, when people post videos, well, you can't put those in a book. Right. If they post links to other websites, well, you can't put those sites in the book. And sometimes that linked content really makes a difference in a thread.
Right.
And most often they link to pictures that we can't also republish in book form. So instead, what we did is we just took the opening post from the top 75 most important threads from a given month, and we have monthly editions of the Book of Threads. So you can see now in a concise format, and it has a pretty cool magazine-style layout with two columns, pretty easy to read, and a clickable table of contents as a Adobe Acrobat file. And you can go through and see everything that's happening for that particular month, all the threads that had the highest number of flags, and then if you like what you see, and in many cases the opening posts are just awesome. And if you like what you can see, there's a link and a URL to go read the entire thread.
You know, it almost reminds me, Bill, of those magazines and newspapers that kind of they're kind of a concise, a straightforward deal about different news things that happen in the city. I like the bold thing, that happens, and then, of course, it begins with a thread. So, yeah, I thought it was excellent. When do you think you're going to go live with this, do you think?
Well, the first 13 are live. I'm trying to get a couple done every week. They're available in the discussion thread. If you go to the board business and questions forum, okay. it's still on the main page where we're talking about the Book of Threads. You can see the first few. Once we have both 2007 and 2008 complete, we're going to have a dedicated page for it, and we're also going to partner up with a website called Script D.
Yes, and, that's neat.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool site for online publications. Yeah, everybody uses it. Even Apple uses it to publish their manuals in digital form. And that will allow us to create sort of an embedded, almost video player type widget where you don't even have to download these things to see them. You can just see them right within the web page. And it's essentially streaming an Adobe Acrobat file to your desktop rather than downloading the whole thing before you open it up. So it'll be pretty cool.
All right. So what do we got going on this week in the Skeptic Overview Show?
Well, we can go back to that very, very handy little page this week on AboveTopSecret.com. It's really tough to remember, AboveTopSecret.com/thisweek.html, or just go to the homepage and click on the This Week button at the top. And that'll give you a snapshot of what's been happening on the site over the past 7 days. And from there, if you want a broader look, you can see what's going on in the past month, the past 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, or 2 years, all the top most important and most popular threads during that time. But we've had some really interesting threads, as always, but a couple real standouts that were just phenomenal. The one that stands out the most, which is literally a member in danger in an international news incident as it happens. Janice Finn was in the Thailand airports while the demonstrations and the bombs and the police actions and the killing were going on. And he posted videos. There's several videos on the site. One, which is mere seconds after a bomb went off, just 30 meters away from where he was. You can see the people all crouching on the ground in a panic, wondering what to do next. It's really dramatic stuff. And he tells a story of how, it was the most exciting and the most terrifying time at the same time in his life as he's going through his account. And he's responding to a lot of members. It's an incredible discussion sprung up around this. It's 3 pages long now of mostly him telling his account. With 95 flags on that thread, too. Have you guys read through this thread?
I actually looked at the videos, Bill. I didn't read the threads, but I looked at the videos. And I tell you, the videos had me on pins and needles because, it's like, I can't even imagine the guy sitting there doing this. In fact, I saw it several times in the videos that he has up that he was going to get in trouble. Because, yeah, I mean, oh, there was police officers coming right towards him. I thought, oh, man, he's had it, you know. And they went right past him and were doing something else. You know, how crazy is that?
Yeah, well, it just shows you that their attention was on something else. And he had a small video camera, and he was able to get away with it. There were a lot of stories of people who were taking photos and who were taking video being detained and taken into custody. In the other airports and other areas in the airport he was in. So that was a real risk and a phenomenal story that came out of this.
Wow.
Another really interesting topic. Interesting doesn't even quite sum it up. But this one has 101 flags now from one of our moderators, Sky Floating. It's a excellent article on ancient extraterrestrials. Actually, more... scholarly referred to as the ancient astronaut theory. And it's a really concise as can be possible for this topic, rundown on what this is with a couple interesting links and especially a couple images that are really make you think. One image of from a Egyptian sandstone somewhere. Where is it from? I don't think he actually describes where this is, but you see it's clearly Egyptian hieroglyphics and some drawings of two figures holding what look like small gray aliens with a spaceship hovering above, just sending out beams of light. So it's really, you know, wow, look at that. That's looks like ancient astronauts.
Yeah.
And he covers the, you know, one of the theories in the ancient astronaut circle of study is the idea of the Anunnaki, who visited Earth a long time ago in some area. And, I mean, there are several theories out there, and our good friend Jim Mars has one of the most compelling theories and historical scenarios, I guess is the best thing, about the Anunnaki and how they are, how their technology is continuing to influence conspiracies to this day. And this is a real nice primer to that concept, and a lot of great replies and follow-up from members just continuing to build on it. So it's been a tremendous thread. So if you were interested in that idea, and there are also in page 4 and onward in further up in page 10 in this thread, some links other members have posted to how some of these ancient astronaut theories are connected to contemporary conspiracies of the past century. So it's a really interesting read.
I'm sorry. I was chuckling, not about that, but I just happened to scroll down to the one about the UFO shooting out of the ocean. That's
tagged a
hoax.
Yeah. Yeah, see, there's another topic. You know, this happens a lot. I mean, we are a popular stomping ground for those who would like to hoax. And this one, it was uncovered on page 2 or something, wasn't it? Of that thread?
Yeah.
But, I think it's page 2, yeah.
I mean, but this is, I tell you what I love about these idiots that come into AboveTopSecret.com and think they're going to scam people simply because we all believe in all the alternative topics that we have on our site that, you know, millions and millions of people that don't know a thing about AboveTopSecret.com, they come and they go, wow, they're overwhelmed, you know? But there's always some clown out there that thinks he's going to come in here and spin a yarn and that we're all going to go, oh, wow, you communicated with dolphins, you were filming dolphins, and all of a sudden, you know, ray guns come out of the ocean? Wow, you know, I mean, these guys just slay me. Every single one of them, the membership absolutely rips apart, you know, when they start confronting them about their story. I don't understand it, you know.
And it's really funny to see. Like in this case, the hoaxer was really indignant when people started questioning his story. And then, you know, I remember found the source picture that he photoshopped to create his little splashing UFO.
Which I believe, well, wasn't it off of the NOAA site?
Yeah, it was really easy to find, apparently.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just love that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Bill, but I mean, I was scrolling down and then I see this hoax and I hadn't seen one up in a while. And I just, this thing really fun. I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, I'm sure I would have eventually covered that thread sooner or later. So it's good that you jumped in with that.
Well, good. Two brains think alike. I love that.
Yeah, I was being sarcastic. Anyway, moving on.
I know you were. I know you well enough to know, Bill, you were being sarcastic. You weren't even going to think about a smidgen of covering that one. That's why I threw it in. All right,
sure.
So go, cover the good ones, Jim.
One more that I want to cover, and then you guys can I'll hand the floor over gracefully so that you can interject with the threads that you guys liked. another one, which is a subject that caught a lot of attention, has 59 flags at this point posted 4 days ago from Easy Now. Astronauts on Skylab 3 photographed a giant UFO in 1973, and sure enough, it's been analyzed by scientists of the day and even someone who's been on ATS from time to time, Stanton Friedman. And this object was tracked by the three astronauts on Skylab 3, one of them the first astronaut in space, or the first astronaut, yeah, the first scientist in space on Skylab. Watching this large object, they took several color photographs, and it followed them and began to get a little bit closer before they couldn't see it anymore, but there were some flashing lights, and they were able to estimate the size of the object because it followed them past the night line as they went from sunlight to dark on the Earth. And they were able to see that when they were able to time between the time they crossed the borderline of dark and when the object crossed, so they could calculate the distance between themselves and the object so that they would know how far away it was. And the thing is 800 feet long. And Skylab was only 150 feet long, and it was the largest thing we had in orbit at the time. So it was right. Really startling object, and many UFO experts think it is one of the top 10 UFO sightings of all time and one of the most credible sightings of an object that could be of extraterrestrial origin, because we simply did not have the means to put something that large into space at the time. Even secret covert government projects we didn't have the capacity to put that much into orbit. Yes. So for you guys.
Yeah. Wow. Sorry. I had my mic muted. I was crunching. Oh, guys. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to leave you there hanging there, Bill.
Those are some of the ones that really caught my eye. Interesting news story about also 57 flags about a SWAT team confiscating food in rural Ohio.
That was one of the ones I was going to cover. Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah,
oh, I just found it extremely interesting, and I haven't been able to check back with it, but very interesting occurrence here with the SWAT team coming in and confiscating the food in this rural family's home, and the young children were being held on the couch, not held as in physically, but having to remain still with their guns drawn on them. And I was thinking, wow, what on earth is this thread all about? And it got to be kind of interesting, especially with some of the replies that some of the members posted. Apparently, I guess, they were storing up food. Is that the idea that you got from reading this, Bill?
Yeah, apparently they were, for the people in the area, running some kind of food co-op.
Right.
And they pulled together their money, and apparently this family was chosen as the one to obtain the food and store it in case of emergency.
Sure. And so one needs to ask, what necessarily is wrong with that idea? I store food myself.
Right. Well, apparently, I saw this thread when it appeared on December 5th and read through it and followed the news story. And the takeaway I had is that for some reason in Ohio, there are apparently some laws against that, but also apparently these people may have been Amish, and they would have been exempt from those laws. So it still is unclear because there's not the news story was sort of on a website that's halfway between mainstream and not mainstream, I guess, is the best right. description. But there are some laws against being an unlicensed retailer or reseller of food. And I believe that's the basis upon which they did the raid. But I mean, with guns, I mean, geez, what?
And on small children, yes. It's not like they were terrorists.
Well, they were food terrorists, apparently.
All right, wait a minute. Now, I got to stop you guys. I mean, so you're telling me that there's a law in – is this Ohio? Is that where it was?
Yes. Yeah, well, I mean, to be a licensed reseller, I mean, it does make a little bit of sense where there are...
Oh, so they're trying to... It was a commercial thing. Commercial thing.
No, it wasn't, but that was the basis for the raid. They weren't really doing it for commercial purposes, but that was sort of the basis that they used for the raid. They were they were an unlicensed food retailer.
Yeah, well, I smell a rat there. I mean, like, who would report them, you know?
Exactly. We're not talking about the Koresh compound. Of course, maybe they were abusing some pomegranates, and that could be a problem.
Well, you know, I mean, this smacks of Johnny's story about the squirrel from hell. I mean, you know, they store food also, you know?
Well, let me tell you. I mean, I think squirrels, I think, we need to be watched, you know?
And especially if they only have one eye, right?
Yeah. I've seen some crazy squirrels. And didn't we have a story about squirrels last time we were on? Or am I just...
No, you must be thinking of the radio show, Christmas party show that we just did, where Johnny related about the crazed squirrel.
Oh, no, sure. No, I heard that, but no, weren't we covering something about... No, there was a thread on ATS that I remember now about crazy squirrels in the Northeast.
Actually, as far back as several years ago, there were some reports coming in that among the deer flu and deer acting real strange, squirrels were also acting real strange and even attacking people. They were trying to figure out, scientists and researchers were trying to figure out what it was that was driving the squirrels crazy. And I haven't kept up with it, but
well, that's happening. There's some of that happening right now in New England because there's no acorn crop in areas where the ground right now, or not right now, but in late fall would normally be covered with acorns. There's none. And the squirrels are starving, and they're going nuts because they, you know, nuts.
they're going nuts because they have no nuts.
Exactly. They can't gather up what they need to gather up for the winter, and they're just they're losing their minds trying to find something.
Bill, before we go into the Jim Mars section of your show, I just, and this has nothing to do with the site, but I saw on ABC News tonight that 20% is the average that major newspapers across the country have lost business.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're getting killed by the internet.
That's us, baby.
That's it. I just want, you know, I mean, it's nice when a plan comes together. What, November 5th, 2007, yeah. We started the revolution. And now, you know, they're sitting there saying, well, in fact, one of the things that what's his name said with ABC News, Mel Gibson or whatever the hell that guy's name is, you know, he said that it was amazing how much their revenue was getting killed by the internet revenue scenario.
There is a little bit of insight I have into this that doesn't necessarily get covered that much in the news stories. And this actually started for newspapers some time ago, and it's really a problem now as they're just struggling to compete also in a bad economy. But the thing that really killed them wasn't necessarily news availability online. It was classifieds online. It was Craigslist.
Oh,
because a little known secret about newspapers is that the classified section used to be their enormous cash cow.
I understand they could, that. Right.
Every other aspect of the newspaper could be losing money and be down in advertising revenue, but as long as classifieds are doing well, the paper would be profitable. And now that they've lost almost all of that classified money because of Craigslist and other online sources for those types of ads, it's a real problem for newspapers. They've had, rather than try to reinvent themselves and adapt, they just faltered and floundered. And yeah, most of them are in real trouble now. Even the New York Times, they mortgaged their headquarters to try and continue to survive. And the Tribune went bankrupt.
Sure.
If I could, I'd just like to add that I don't think that the internet is necessarily can be condemned as the number one primary reason for that cash flow not coming in. Because here in our region, and I'm sure this has to exist nationwide, for over 10 years, we've had a small circular that is sent out, a small little magazine-like of about 20 pages long that is sent in the mail called the Penny Saver.
And
all that does is deal with ads. So I think that some of that revenue, it was being stolen prior to the internet. You know, we could also blame what? We could blame eBay. You know, we were going to go down the list. There's a number of different sources But I do agree that I think that they sat on their hands for so long that it kind of caught up to them. And in fact, our local newspaper shut down, and now all the our particular newspaper is now published and printed in Sacramento, and all the other cities that had and were publishing their own newspapers is now being published solely at the Sacramento headquarters and then sent out. So we don't even have our own newspaper factory anymore.
Wow. Yeah, and also one of the things that started to change the entire landscape and make newspapers less important was the 24-hour news like CNN.
Sure. I mean,
you could turn that on and get a synopsis of news at any point at any time.
Right.
And now there's like a glut of news. I mean, no matter where you turn, there's a way to get some kind of news. So it's almost as if I think there does need to be a shakeup because there's just too much news. Too many ways and too many forms to deliver news. So it's, yeah, something's got to die or get consolidated in some way. And it's going to be newspapers first and magazines second.
Yeah, I don't think the magazines are really far behind either. All right, let's go into your two topics for tonight on Jim Marr's best-selling book that's called Above Top Secret. That's a great name. I love that name.
Oh, yeah, a cool name, huh? Available in fine stores
everywhere. And also, you can click directly on the threads of any of the ATS Mix shows, the Above Politics shows, or the BTS Mix shows, and you can go directly to where you can buy it from AboveTopSecret.com.
Yes, and if you go to AboveTopSecret.com, there's a giant banner at the top of the page that says, click me, click me.
Yeah, in case you missed any of the implanted advertisement, just you to you, Johnny.
But if you're looking for a taste of what's covered in the wonderful book by Jim Marrs that is being snickered about in the background there.
No, I'm snickering because Dave just happened to just throw in that little bit. If you have any problems, just you to you, Johnny.
Well, I mean...
As Dave takes the back step, yes.
I could set up a redirect so that those U2Us I'll go to Dave.
Oh, thanks. No, thanks. No, thanks. I promise I won't call you that. Irvine again. I promise, Bill. I won't call you Irvine.
I told
Irvine.
You it was going to come back to bite you on the butt.
There's lots I can do.
I know you can. Yeah, that's the downside about having a boss as a programmer, you know.
Yeah, we can make your life real miserable.
Okay, well, I'll be
anyway.
Good. I'll be good.
And also, if you want a taste of what's in the book, all you have to do is go to AboveTopSecret.com/book, and what you'll see is a list of the chapters to the right, and these are all the pages that are linked from inside the book. So as you go to one particular chapter, it'll take you to threads, all the current threads on those particular topics. And chapter 3 in the book covers the sighting in Texas, in and around Stephenville, of the UFOs.
Right.
Early last year, and also going on to this day, there's still a lot of sightings coming out of that area. And most importantly, what Jim covers in the book is the the way the Air Force changed their story and how that change actually seemed to increase. The interest in the story. At first, the Air Force said, well, no, we didn't have any activity going on in the area. And then, ooh, that seemed to get everybody interested in what these things could be. Are they UFOs? Are they secret government aircraft being tested? All the different sightings, lights from all over the place. And then I think it was about 6 weeks later, somebody in the Air Force realized, ooh, wait, you know, we gotta calm these rumors down. And Jim believes because maybe a couple of the stories started to get a little too close to some kind of truth, perhaps. Then the Air Force said, well, actually, we did have squadrons of F-16s doing training runs in the area. Well, yeah, F-16s don't hover.
No.
At least no. Not that we know of. And so that just fueled the speculation even more. It's typical of when the government like what they did with Roswell, with those stupid dummies, when they try to come up with a alternate story, it just makes things worse, and it goes downhill from there. And that's exactly what happened here. It just made things worse. Then the speculation just started going again. Even a reporter was covering the story so much that her editor said that's enough, and they fired her, and now she's doing it in a freelance way and really digging into it and working on a book as well. So
Right.
Have you guys looked much into this topic?
Well, actually, I was in Corpus when all this was taking place, but John, at one time, he was talking about flying in on the second sighting. I think, John, we kind of toyed with you coming in and staying a few days with me and us going down to Stephenville. Wasn't it the second sighting?
That's correct, yeah. I was under the impression that there was a lot more to this story from the original story that came out, and that there would be a lot more coming from it. And so, yes, I did want to come and kind of do our own little investigation to see if anything would possibly flare up, which obviously it did. Yeah, I find this to be a very interesting scenario, an event. You know, it cracks me up that every time, as you were saying, Bill, that when something gets presented, and then it always seems like the military will always deny it. And then some information will get passed on, and then they go, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, we were doing maneuvers on that day. And that always cracks me up. It's like almost like, yeah, if they were trying not to bring any attention to them, it's like you would almost feel like you'd want to say that in the onset.
Well, my experience with the Air Force Information Office is, which dates back to Saigon, you know, these guys, I don't know what it is about. It may be the Army, Marines, and the Navy are different, and maybe even the Coast Guard. But, you know, the Air Force Information Office, they just have this knack for putting their foot in their mouth. I mean, they've been doing it for 36, 37 years that I'm aware of. And, you know, they sit there and they try to spin this tale. But, I mean, when you've got the eyewitnesses that you had, you even had, what, half the town that physically saw this and are going, man, that was not an F-16, like Bill said, you know, and then they're trying to say, well, we were on secret maneuvers, right, you know, and then you have the second sighting, and I think there's, what, been four sightings so far down there since the initial one?
Oh, there's been a lot of sightings, some small.
I mean the magnitude that happened on the July 11th.
Broadly reported multiple sightings, yes.
You know what cracks me up is over this whole deal, you know, some of these sightings were actually over the Camp David compound. If we are to believe the maneuvers story, if I recall correctly, the Camp David area is restricted airspace, is it not?
Yes, it is.
What am I thinking of? I thought Camp David was in Maryland.
It is. He's not Camp David.
Is it his vacation home?
His Crawford Ranch has restricted airspace.
I'm sorry. My mistake. You are correct. The Crawford Ranch, yes. I'm right. Confusing two areas, yes. But it's still restricted airspace
Crawford. No question. Whether the president's there or not, they have a standing no-fly zone over now you got me doing Camp David.
Crawford Ranch. Sorry,
well, my apologies. Well, I think clearly the aliens were protesting Bush then, weren't they?
Well, they were doing a good job, you know. Speaking of protesting Bush, the next one is hidden symbols and road signs. What's that all about?
Speaking of protesting Bush.
I had no other better segue to do it than that.
Well, you could say, okay, well, what about the next chapter?
I know, but I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Well, the next subject is something that was a early thread.
Dave is now thinking about what he said. Now it sounds like, well, it sounds like I was actually
I guess I've just validated
tromboning there for celibacy.
Yeah, I guess I've just validated that guy's point, huh, John? Insider joke, folks. Sorry.
Sounds real inside.
Johnny's so great, yeah.
Dave thinks I have a stalker, Bill.
He does have a stalker.
Oh, we all have stalkers.
But this is a male stalker.
Oh, from Dave's area in San Antonio around there.
What does that mean?
Well, I think what offends you, and I apologize to our listeners.
Oh, here's a sidebar.
What the heck is this all about? What happened here? I think what you're pushed out of shape most about this inside thing that we're not sharing with anybody is that he is from your neck of the woods, Dave.
Yeah, backstabber.
And that he apparently likes me more than he likes you.
Yeah, backstabber. So. Johnny's from California, you backstabbing Texan. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry, Bill.
Yeah, sorry, Bill.
No, really. Yeah, no apologies necessary.
Hidden symbols and road signs.
We thought last week's show kind of went south. Oh, boy.
Talk about hidden symbols.
There you go.
There he is.
Anyway, so we're now on chapter number 4 in Jim's book titled Above Top Secret. And he picked up a topic that had some play early in the history of ATS. Simon had a couple pieces of information about this in the old archive area of the website, and there were a couple threads. But really what Jim did was incredibly expand upon those early threads, because the let's see, where is the thread? I have to scroll down to the bottom of this page. It's all the way back from 2003, I believe, is the original thread. Yes, Military Codes Hidden in Road Signs by Dazed and Confused is the thread that literally inspired Jim to dig into this. And indeed, this member went out and photographed and found other people who photographed these weird geographic symbols on the back of highway signs all over the country.
Right.
Mostly on major roads, although there were some sort of secondary roads that had these symbols on the back of the signs as well. And there was a real concern as to what these things were. Definitely they appeared to be of military origin. And what Jim was able to do is connect the dots and put these in the same category as FEMA conspiracies and New World Order, One World Government conspiracies. And apparently what these symbols are to give directions to foreign troops that don't speak English who would have invaded the U.S. or been part of a One World Government takeover from the U.N. To give them an idea of where they should go, what roads they should take, and where they should turn off to get to certain destinations. Now, clearly now with the GPS system being in wide use, they don't need those things anymore, but that was a way for these foreign troops to know their way around the country before they would have access to GPS navigation systems in their vehicles.
Which, of course, would bring up all sorts of different questions and queries.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And sidebar conspiracies on itself.
Yeah.
Right. It's a fountain spring of conspiracies and speculation from that category that ties the One World Government, FEMA, and the UN together in those areas. And it really is a fascinating read. I mean, I remember that thread. And as I was reading through the way Jim connected these things in this chapter, I think it really is one of my most favorite chapters in the book because of the way he just connected these things. And I'm reading it like slack-jawed. I remember when I first read it when I was proofing the book, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, I see this stuff every day, and I was just floored by this chapter. It's a relatively quiet, unknown conspiracy. But he just pulled it together in a way that floored me. It was just amazing. And the threads that are linked on this page are all in that vein of what's happening now, sort of how this conspiracy evolved to the FEMA camps. This one huge on this page is linked a member who went to remember the thread on the FEMA coffins.
Oh yeah,
right,
right.
Yeah, almost a million plastic coffins being stored on government property.
Right.
And they are the kind of coffins that would be used in a terrible outbreak of viral infections to bury people in a hermetically sealed way. So it's all there. It's all very interesting. And, yeah, like you said, it's just a fountain spring of other conspiracies from this one thought. And it was just amazing.
Well, you know, very informative tonight, Bill, as we look forward.
Tonight as opposed to other nights?
Yeah. No. You know we love you, Bill. I mean, my Lord. I mean, you know, you sit there and provide us just such great topics. And it's been a very informative show, very technical. I love when you do the technical thing. That way people don't rag me about talking about technical issues. Because
you can't. I
mean, there you go. See, you said it. There.
Yeah.
I hope this
Somebody
guy,
had to say it. That's
I hope
right,
this clown's satisfied now. Bill is a technical guy. I have no technical abilities whatsoever.
That's right. Right here on ATS Mix, I said it.
That's right, and you can take that to the bank. But we want to remind everybody again that if you want to find out more about the subjects that we're talking about, if you'll go to www.abovetopsecret.com/book, then you can look at all these magnificent little topics and sidebar things that Bill has created to give you more of an insight into the book by Jim Mars, Above Top Secret, available in every major bookstore worldwide, and also by clicking one of the thread shortcuts in any of the above network media radio show threads.
And also, on that same page, you can download a sample page or two from each one of those categories in a PDF form, which is really nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
And I want to add that a couple interesting stories about the book. We've been getting lots of reports from members who see it in the bookstores, and I went to a Barnes & Noble here. I actually saw it on the new and notable desk near the front door because the manager was a fan of the site.
Really?
Yes, he was a member.
Wow. Man, give that guy some ATS points.
Right. And then we're hearing lots of stories from members a couple times in one of the threads about the book, but mostly in UTU to myself, Mark, or Steven, where they'll go downstairs and they'll find the book, you know, in the general conspiracy area with the other Jim Mars books, and they'll take like three and put it up on the new nonfiction releases desk upstairs or near the front door. Sneakily, if it's not already there.
Oh, so we've got a hidden agenda going on with the book.
Yeah, we have our crew out there.
I love that. I love that. Well, you know, that's what the revolution is all about, ladies and gentlemen, is taking the above top secret book and shoving it in the man's face. All right, Bill, I know we've taxed your time more than what you allocated us, so time to say goodnight, kids.
Goodnight, kids.
Goodnight, Bill.
We'll see you, Bill.
Yeah, we'll see you on next week's show, brother.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.abovetopsecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. We'll be right back.